the novelty is worn off.
Oh, you're so cool. Cool, can we talk while I don't have my dick in my hand?
Right. Actually, I prefer we only talk while I have my dick in my hand. Because that's going to happen in here or out there.
Oh.
Are we live yet?
We're not.
We're recording, but not streaming?
We are streaming, but we're in the...
Oh, we're in the dead zone?
Yeah.
I can start.
I was trying to think if there was anything else I needed to do. Cut the title.
See, is there a better Facebook background that's like more Van Gogh-ish?
God, if there could be just dicks.
I want the movie.
You're gonna fucking find out.
Okay. We're not gonna give you a private podcast.
I was just asking for good or not good.
Yeah, I will answer your question over the course of an hour or more.
The high
I see
level.
You trying to weasel your way down here every week.
I see you, villain.
I see exactly what you're doing.
Hey,
I did the same thing with Mama's Family.
By the way, I rented it on Google Play, and it's part of the family account, so you should actually be able to watch it as long as you watch it in like the next 40 hours.
Yeah, then you can form your own opinion.
Yeah, it should be part of the family account, so you should actually, if you go to your Google Play library, you should see it there as a rental.
Oh, I needed to. That's what I need to do.
Trying to cut the line. This is how everybody works in Illinois. Everyone's trying to be first place in a race
Everyone's
of one.
Everyone's either cutting lines or breaking milkshake machines.
Damn it.
For no fucking reason.
Qdoba would be perfect if they had a shake machine. That is seriously lacking.
I don't know why they don't. Like, they have cookies and brownies. Why don't they have, like. All they need is cinnamon sugar. And they can toss the chips in it and they have, like.
Sopapilla.
Drizzle some honey on it.
Mm.
Holy shit. Charge them $100,000 to consult. Yeah. And then just do that one idea. And then get us all a free Qdoba for life card.
Nice. Yeah. And then...
You'd make them a lot more than that $100,000 easily.
And then open up a Del Taco.
With the promise. Paid for entirely by free Qdoba for life cards.
So... I actually learned how some of those companies do that shit.
Hold on. What companies do what shit?
Like the free
Del Taco
free
makes
food
half
for life.
Bean and cheese burritos with red sauce.
We're live. No.
So
alright, so school us, Alex. Yeah. This is important information. We need to stream this out.
Everybody does it differently, is what I learned. Like each company does it a little bit differently. The one that fascinated me the most was some guy did a commercial for Arby's. And they gave him a special gift card that Arby's basically loaded with $25 every single day.
Yeah.
Every single day he could spend $25 on this Arby's gift card. So he would, like, every day he would basically, even if he didn't want Arby's, which was most of the days, right?
Yeah, because Arby's is garbage.
Well, like you might have it once a week still, right? But, like, he would go buy $25 worth of food and then go bring it to homeless people.
Well, yeah.
Like, every day.
Yeah, that's a good use of that.
That's very time consuming.
Well, he was like, hey, like, I have this thing. Like,
let me wield my power for good.
Yeah.
But then does he feel guilty on the days where he actually eats the food?
No.
Because he's literally taking the food out of homeless people's mouths?
I don't know. $25 a day is a lot of Arby's.
What are you doing over there?
Yeah, you're not on a microphone over there.
Also, that was literally the conversation we just had.
Yeah.
If you're going to listen in, you actually need to listen in.
Wow.
Did you guys know they have seitan chicken wings at this restaurant?
Oh my god, did you guys see that they have seitan chicken wings?
Alright, now that we talked about that, and now that we're recording and streaming, we're going to do a live unboxing through radio only.
Why?
That's for you.
Why?
What is happening?
I don't know.
I hope this is the thing that we talked about.
It's related to that.
Excellent.
We're just having regular live unboxings of shit now.
I'm going to have one next week.
This is a present for Kayla.
I hope this is drugs.
Me too.
How much drugs?
It's less drugs than I anticipated.
It's bags in a bag.
Yeah.
Oh, I've played baggy baggy before too.
Conquer, failure, win, future, Zubu sports goods.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
What is Zubu?
Air dry.
Well, whatever's in there, you need to air dry it.
Yeah, apparently.
Or maybe it is air dry. Maybe that's the product.
Oh, shit.
Are these?
Oh, shit.
Boxing
I know what those
gloves?
Are.
Those are fight gloves.
Yeah.
Wow. with claws on them.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Rawr.
So,
Oh, yeah. Apparently there's a story.
Yeah.
I fucking forgot about this already.
After our recent adventure, I realized that Kayla could probably... So my original plan was I need to get Kayla some brass knuckles. That was the original plan. It turns out...
This is what we talked about.
Yes. Brass knuckles are...
illegal?
Are illegal.
Not just illegal, like super illegal.
Yeah.
Like... being in public with them is a Class D felony in Missouri, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, not using them on somebody, just having one in your pocket and being in public. Yeah.
This feels weird.
So.
Who are these supposed to protect, me or them?
You.
Your knuckles.
You. They're meant to protect you from breaking your knuckles and cutting your hands on people and boxing, and boxing bags and stuff.
It also... those look like the kind that will also give you some wrist support, which is really helpful.
When you're punching someone's fucking lights out.
Yeah, but you should be doing the palm thing. That's probably safer.
Yeah, you're right.
You get a little more power behind that, too.
Like, up the...
yeah, like...
you can kill someone like that,
though. Yeah, you fucking can.
You can kill somebody by punching them in the face anyway, so...
Yeah. So anyway.
That sounds like the voice of experience.
Yeah. Speaking of Class D felonies,
since I imagine this is coming out in about a week, happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
And now you got some gloves.
Happy Valentine's Day. Here are boxing gloves.
And now you got some gloves for Mardi Gras fights that will inevitably happen.
That's true. So all right, now, so there's apparently a story that needs told.
Yeah, I guess. Kayla might want to start it since she's...
All right, we were at this bar that we go to all the time. It's this tiny bar.
Racist.
Sure. It's this tiny bar that is, like, it's relatively new. Not new, I guess it's like a year old now. But it's clean, like, it's cute. There's a pool table. There aren't a lot of people in it usually, but it's busy enough that it probably isn't going to go out of business. Like, Pints and Rails, rest in peace. And
I have concerns about their fiscal survivability.
You think so?
Yeah. Maybe they're just a laundering operation, so they're not going anywhere.
God, I hope so. I want one of the pool tables, though. Yeah.
The number of pool tables has been reduced by 50%. We went from 2 to 1.
Well.
Weird.
Yeah.
I think they want to do more events.
Well, I don't want them to do more events.
Same. So we're at the bar, and it's like, I don't even remember what time it was, probably like 11 or midnight, almost. We're playing pool, and we're drinking. The drinks are super cheap. That's another reason why we go there.
It's true.
The bartender knows us, so that's a huge plus. Just walk in, and she just, like, starts serving us what we want. There was this other group there. It's two couples, and they had been drinking all night, and they'd been putting country music on the... Touch Tunes jukebox, which was
that's a fine. Bad sign right there.
It was, first off, the music was garbage. They were garbage people. You know those people like go to a bar and then they kind of like they get drunk and then they do that like dancing in the middle of the bar floor thing, but like they know they're drunk and they just want to dance. They were garbage people.
I feel like I'm being personally attacked right now, but
yeah, I mean, you're also a garbage person.
Yeah, I mean,
specifically, this story is about these four garbage people.
Yeah. People.
Yeah, I mean, you see them at the meetings every week.
GPA.
So, yeah. Yeah,
they're
exactly
garbage
what you just
people.
Said. So, like, they're in, it's kind of like two rooms, and then, but they're, like, you can see into the other one in, like, an archway or something.
All right.
And we're in the one room that's off to the side with the pool table. We're playing pool. They go into the bar room, and it looked like they're settling tabs, and there really isn't anything to pay attention to. We're playing pool. I'm doing all these, like, crazy trick shots. Like, it was wild. It was a wild night.
Yeah, they got rid of, like, there were two pool tables. There was the nice, stable pool table, and then there was the really fucked up on acid pool table, and they got rid of the stable pool table. So now every shot is incredible. Or awful. Like, there's no in between. And Kayla hit a lot of the incredible shots that night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm positioned in a way that I'm looking into the bar area.
right.
And I don't know what they are doing. They're probably like circle jerking. Like,
into a cup. Yeah.
Yeah, into a
yeah,
cup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
Jai-ho!
I see somebody throws their jacket to the ground. And the bartender is looking towards the front door, but you can't see it from where. And she looks concerned. And the jukebox is kind of loud, so you can't really hear what's going on in the other room. And also the Bee Gees are on constant, like, loop on the TV.
How deep is your love?
I specifically asked, because it's always the Bee Gees. And it I kinda, is always the Bee Gees. So I specifically asked the bartender, I'm like, what? What's going on with the Bee Gees? The owner loves the Bee Gees. It's never not on. It's always
What's
on.
What's not to love about the Brothers Gibb? Except for Maurice. Fuck that guy.
He's ghoulish.
So I see something gets thrown. It's a jacket. It's thrown to the ground. The bartender looks concerned. And so I'm sitting there and I just went. Like, I don't know what these guys are doing. I just go into the other room, and
we were playing pool. That we thing were, that
yeah,
we
but
were
I was also
doing.
Playing pool.
Yeah. No.
But I didn't like we alert anyone.
Then we,
I just,
then we were waiting. No.
She snapped her stick, so she had a
nice point.
Yep.
So I go into the other room, and these dudes are fist fighting, and they roll out into the street. One of their girlfriends comes back in, and she's like, "I'm standing at the bar next to the bartender," and she's like, "Like." Can you go break them up? She's talking to the bartender, who is, like, not somebody who should be going out and breaking up two dudes fist fighting. Like, and she's like, "Don't you have a bouncer or something?" I'm like, "You've been here all night.
You've been here all
You've
night.
You've seen every person in this bar.
Yeah. You're one of the seven people in this bar. You came here with four people."
Also, it's nobody else's problem to break up your shitty fight, like, with you and your
they
friends.
They must go to places often enough and, like, have people get in fights that they know, like, a protocol. Like,
Jesus.
You know what I mean?
Because
she was like, where's your bartender, your bouncer? What? Like,
why aren't you guys doing what you should be doing here?
Yeah, so she's looking at us like a fish out of water, like, and I'm like, okay, I'll go do it. Like, so I go outside.
I fucking got this.
There's blood everywhere. It's all over the sidewalk. Like, just splatters of blood.
There's blood everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. There's pictures. There was blood everywhere. So I step outside and I start yelling, but the guys, like, had separated.
So right about this point, David goes, "What's going on outside?" Or something like that.
Yeah, because you can... The way the rooms are set up, they both have a front-facing windows, so they could see from the room that they're in the front sidewalk.
And right as he said that, I watch a guy walk away quickly, just blood all over his head.
Bleeding.
And I'm like...
Ah, those head wounds, they bleed a lot.
I'm like, oh. And then David goes, "There's a situation.
There's a situation."
And then we go into the front room and join Kayla. As she's coming right back in.
There was a situation. I was right.
There was. I asked the bartender, I was like, "Does this happen frequently?" I feel like it doesn't because we're there often enough. Like,
and then there was this drunk guy who's hopped up on adrenaline because he just punched the shit out of somebody.
Oh my god, he was unbearable.
He's like, "Oh, you just start fucking with the short guy." Like, I guess he was shorter of the two of them.
He was short.
Think
he
could just fight the short guy?
Pretty short,
yeah,
he's
short, for a dude. Yeah.
And at this point, I'm absentmindedly passing a cue ball between my hands, like fidgeting. Which, looking back on it, like maybe it looks like I was.
Nobody noticed.
Okay,
Alex,
nobody noticed.
Everybody was paying attention.
David
to the,
noticed
the person bleeding.
I noticed,
and to the dude who was like, "Do you hear that mad disrespect? He's like talking shit to me, like." Yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
Lovely.
Apparently, they had been out drinking all night.
Yeah, well, I don't
go figure.
As one does.
I'm gonna try and say I don't get into fistfights when I've been drinking all day, but
you attempt
only
to.
For lack of opportunity, I think.
Okay, well, so they had been drinking all day, and I got from the what I was hearing, like they had been to a couple of places, so they had multiple tabs, and when you're in a group of people with like multiple tabs, you have to figure out how to. Pay them, how to split them. So apparently there was a discrepancy on who should pay for whom's shots, which caused these two fine gentlemen to go fisticuffs at each other and bleed all over this nice lady's. Yeah, exactly like that.
Get some old-timey boxing going.
Yeah. Old-timiest.
Everybody waxed up their handlebar mustaches.
Yeah. It was basically a fucking country song.
So it was a country song. When the very first song they put in the jukebox was a country song, and in my head I immediately judged these people as trash.
Well, yeah.
And then I thought, that's rude.
I tell you, I didn't either, but I did.
That's rude. I shouldn't do that.
I actually knew before the
music. And then at the end of that night,
and then they
proved
it.
Yeah, at the end of the night, I was like, oh, they're confirming a bias that I have against country music.
Because, like, the women that were with them, they were like, I'm so sorry. Like, blah, blah. And I was like, hold up.
You should be sorry because you're a garbage person. Just not for the fight. Don't be sorry for the fight. Apologize for your shitty taste in music.
Yeah.
You're awful in the way dancing. And can you learn how to play fucking darts? Like, it's not cute when the back end of the dart hits the board. That's just obnoxious. Learn how to play the fucking game.
That takes some talent.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a special skill to make.
It was all four of them. They were all fucking terrible.
The dart naturally doesn't want to fly that way.
Yeah,
no.
It doesn't.
Like, you, that means you're, like, flipping it when you throw it.
Yeah. I mean, that's in and of itself like a special kind of skill, but...
Yeah, you're either flipping it end over end, or you've got an extremely accurate throw of a dart completely backwards. It's really hard to do, but it can be done.
So that was the excitement of the bar. It's so atypical because, like, literally by 11:15 at this bar, we're the only people there. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, actually atypical that we're not the only people in the room we're in.
Mm-hmm.
So having them there and then having them fight, actually before they fought, the bigger dude left, and then the little dude was arguing with his girlfriend about something, and I was telling Kayla it was a threesome negotiation, and then they got into a fight, and that's exactly, I was like, I knew it. I knew it. This guy was pissed.
We were talking about this. I've never gotten drunk and initiated a fight with somebody who wasn't initiating one with me. Like, I've never initiated a fight drunk.
Yeah, me neither.
Just because you don't remember it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Hold on. Tried to initiate is not the same as initiated.
It didn't happen because me and Anna were like, no.
Hey, fuck that guy.
What? Shit. What?
He didn't mean it. No, I did mean it. God damn it, shut up.
Hey, look. I did mean it. Look, dude, look, if these two lovely ladies let go of him, he's going to be fighting the pavement in a second, and he's going to lose bad.
TKO!
He was literally being carried by Kayla and Anna.
I'm amazing.
To the shuttle.
Amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, your corner had you on that one. They were taking care of that situation.
Can't put baby in a corner.
I just love that guy's reaction. What the fuck? Like, what do you do? Some drunk guy at Mardi Gras yelling at you.
And then,
what the fuck?
God, I love Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras is so good.
Like any other time, that would have been a fight. But at Mardi, that guy was probably just as fucking hammered.
Well, I think he was also sitting down, so who knows? Like, he could have stood up and then fell down immediately, too.
Yeah. Just flopping all over. Like, gross.
Yeah, that's hot. Like, you guys would have just, like...
You guys
would have
just been like...
just undulating. Ejaculating everywhere.
It would have been like that fucking scene.
The miracle of ejaculation.
It would have been like that scene in Boston when we went to PAX for the first time, when we walked out of our hotel room Friday night.
Oh my god.
And there were two drunk guys yelling at each other in the street.
No, we were walking back from... the convention.
We're walking
center.
Back. There are two drunk guys yelling at each other in the street, like trying to intimidate each other. They pushed their chests against each other, rotated the wrong way at the same time, fell down, helped each other stand back up, and then started hugging each other.
It's 100% everything that I've experienced and
like, what the fuck?
Expect
what the fuck
from
is
Boston?
Happening at Boston.
That sounds like Boston.
That
sounds
Boston. Like Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is no more Boston-y thing than that. That's fucking Lena right there. That's what that is. That's Lena.
Oh, you're taking him off? I thought you were gonna like go like hit Holden a few times with him at least. Yeah. All right. So
exciting.
That's a whole lot more exciting than anything I did over the weekend.
It's then David posts the picture on the Facebook of the blood on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I was really drunk.
And then your mom's like, "You guys go to the classiest places," and I'm like, "Violence happens around us a lot for some reason, and I don't understand."
You have to start questioning.
I don't feel like it happens any more than for other people.
Really?
What was the time before this?
Yeah. Well, I remember Mardi Gras last year. People were trying to.
That was a year ago.
Yeah. That was.
That was. Yeah.
All right. So
hold on. Not me. Like, but like actual violence
at Mardi Gras. You don't remember?
Come on, Alex.
Why did you even say those words?
Some guy pushed some people beside us and like.
No,
forces...
he was trying to. He was harassing the woman and her kids in front of us.
Yeah.
Like, heavy harassing them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like if you go to Mardi Gras, that is an experience you can reasonably expect to have. Like, I don't think we were singled out by this experience. Like,
no, yeah, that wasn't us. Right. Like, that was just us intervening in a situation.
I just mean, like, that is a situation that happens, like, across the board at Mardi Gras. Mm. Yeah. Like, the exception would be not having that experience at some point.
Somebody being rude and pushy and loud and drunk.
I'm right here. God damn it, Tony.
you were Cushman.
Fucking Cushman.
We really should meet up with Cushman.
I don't know why you guys kept Cushman out of the... Oh, he's making that brisket again on Friday. Ooh.
Yeah, we know. That's why we're not going to the Miami Giants.
Nothing is stopping you from going.
I know.
Why aren't you going?
It's not family.
What? I'm not taking responsibility for you not going.
Okay.
I'm trying to find that post. The picture.
You just want the picture? I have it.
No, I also wanted to look at the post. I just wanted to remember.
I'll find it in a couple of days and use it as the show notes.
Okay,
the image on the show notes.
Just give it to you if you want.
Oh, you can do that too.
No, I don't want to. I'm deleting it.
That's fine.
It.
You do that.
Or like superimpose Kayla's gloves in there.
It's just... Bum. All right.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Alex.
This is Kayla.
This is David.
We are the Backseat Producers. And there's a drink.
Hot damn. I have to start doing shots with Kayla at the bar because you're not there to do them. And she gets really sad.
Specifically because he always plays the shot song on the jukebox. And I said, you can't play this song and not do shots with me. Because that's just mean. Like, it's just mean-spirited.
It's like
just insubordinate and churlish.
It's like summoning a demon and not having a sacrifice prepared.
Right. Like, what the fuck?
Where is the virgin ready to be sacrificed?
I just described to them in length how I ended the Burning Legion's invasion of Azeroth. So do not even talk about demons with me.
I was going to go with it's like summoning a demon,
nerd,
but not casting protection from evil first.
I never
because that is a mistake.
No, I never do that.
Yeah, that's a waste of
time. Every time I summon a demon, it's at a crossroads, and I'm bargaining. So they don't have an incentive to kill me.
That's fair.
I don't see the picture on
I think that might be
why would they kill
I think
brother?
That might be a devil.
Oh, no, there
not
it
a
is.
Demon.
No, that's a demon. It's a crossroads demon.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, basically, Luke ran some game where, like, every time he needed to do the most basic thing, we're like, we find a crossroads. What do you guys want again? Hey man, we need this minor thing done.
Luke is so much fun to play opposite him as the GM because he has box text that has things like makeshift crates in him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now he has a kid and he's old and he's never gonna game again.
That's not gonna happen.
We'll see.
I want to play D&D. Ugh. Can we just play D&D instead of talking tonight?
Ugh.
Did you watch the movie?
Yeah.
Just making sure.
Did you watch the movie?
Yeah.
The whole movie?
Yeah.
Did all you right. make it through the objectionable parts of the movie? They were the ones painted.
No. The objectionable part. The objectionable part is that I spent an extra $1 on this movie to watch it in HD.
Ooh.
And then remembered it was oil paintings.
Yeah.
Well, okay. What's all right. wrong with that?
There was no reason for it.
All right.
It.
Hold on.
It was.
Let's actually start the episode because now I want to pick Alex apart.
All right. Alex, what did you think of the movie?
I enjoyed it.
Of the movie Loving Vincent.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Loving Vincent. That's what we're talking about.
I also enjoyed the oil paintings, but after I was like 10 or 15 minutes in the movie, I realized that there was no reason to get it in HD because limited color palette, it doesn't, like, the increase in resolution is useless.
Is that the only thing that resolution?
I think so.
Is like, color?
Color and texture. I mean,
texture alone would have been worth it. It's oil painting.
I mean, I didn't think it was worth it.
But you're wrong, but.
All right.
Kayla, what did you think of the movie?
I really liked it. A lot.
I like that concise, short summary.
You got it.
David?
I also really liked it.
And I, too, really enjoyed this movie.
All right.
Good podcast.
Back it up, guys. Yeah.
I think the HD was critical to viewing this movie.
Yeah, right?
Because 90% of this movie was the visuals, which were goddamn gorgeous.
Oh, my God.
It was a beautiful movie.
It was beautiful.
It was incredible.
Yeah, and
hand-painted.
And I thought the shtick of the hand-painting was going to get old real quick.
Never did.
And it didn't. It was always visually exciting.
The different styles were really great.
Mm-hmm.
So it was. I think it was at the beginning they said it was 100 different painters, and I was like, oh God, how the fuck do they keep the art style consistent?
Eight years.
And then I realized 100 that
different painters.
They didn't have to. Right. Because of all the different scene changes, you could just have like a painter paint like this bit of the scene, and then the next painter paints the next bit of the scene.
I mean, also it wasn't the same style.
Yeah. Well,
it was all in a Van Gogh style.
It was all in a Van Gogh style, but the color palettes and the colors changed quite a bit.
And like
they changed in a Van Gogh like that's part of his style. Yeah. The way the color palettes were was Van Gogh style.
And most of it were based on paintings of his,
right. Exactly. Like, it was temples they had pulled directly from paintings.
Well, that's how you start learning to paint. Really,
they actually kind of took a page out of Zack Snyder's book and taking specific images and making them fit into the scenes.
Yeah.
Because he does that with some of the comic book movies where he takes a specific panel from a comic book and works his way towards that in a scene. Yeah. So you see that exact panel layout on screen and then, but just telling a story around that panel.
That's why Watchmen's amazing. It's got a lot of those iconic scenes.
It does. So does 300.
Yeah. Oh,
300's got it. That's where he really cut his teeth on it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so the bulk of the work of the movie was done over 4 years. 100 different painters. They said, though, that there are only 1,000. There only exist 1,000 canvases by the end of it. It was 65,000 images or individual frames that they painted. But because of how they painted them, only about 1,000 canvases survived, because they would paint a canvas that has all the backgrounds and everything, and then they would just paint and paint over the individual parts.
Yeah, because that's how oil works. You can just keep reworking it.
Right.
And it blended together surprisingly well for me. I was afraid during the opening credits, I was afraid once I found out it was going to be all oil painting that it was going to be kind of like South Park-y.
Oh.
And that's not what I wanted. Like, I wanted this to look like good oil painting, and it did.
One of the concerns I had was that, for me, the story started a little slow, and so I was a little concerned that the movie was a gimmick.
Yeah.
Like, that there wasn't going to be a story that is worth following, that wasn't going to tell me a story that was worth
paying attention to.
The beautiful pictures that I was seeing. And I was going to be okay because it's fucking gorgeous. Yeah. You know, there are some movies that are dumb as trash, but are beautiful to look at. So I'm just going to enjoy the pretty pictures. This was not that. This was a good movie on top of beautiful.
Yeah, you got that three axes. Cinematography has to be great. The story has to be great. Or the acting has to be great. You need at least one of those to be a watchable movie. And this one had like two of the three.
I mean, it didn't.
The acting was kind of ho-hum. But
really? Like, did you think so?
I didn't think anybody in the movie... I didn't think that this was a challenge for anybody dramatically.
Maybe not, but I still thought that... I don't know. I thought, even as I was watching it, just I didn't feel like the acting was bad at all.
So specifically, I mean, the movie is primarily... I kind of want to get into the structure of the movie, but the movie is primarily exposition through mm-hmm. interview.
Yeah, yeah.
So there isn't really a ton of emotion that, like, these are the events that happened.
Yeah.
So, like, no one's, no, there's no challenge emotionally there.
A few of the interviews are obfuscated by the fact that people may or may not be telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a little bit of nuance in some of the acting that may have been lost by converting this to paint.
Yeah.
Because they're sticking so beautifully to this, to Van Gogh's style, that it's not, you lose some of the detail of facial expression.
I thought they did really good at capturing that, though, even for the oil painting.
Oh,
I
yeah,
thought
no, they the facial did. Expression
the facial
was...
expression and, like, subtle movements, and they, like, I felt like they did a really good job at keeping all of that in.
I didn't have any problems with the movement of the facial expressions of the oil paintings. There were some parts where the voice acting seemed stiff, and I can't tell if that was intentional. Like, I don't know if that was the character being, like, not emotional and rigid, or if that was just the voice acting.
I noticed the stiff portion on the house, the maid.
Yeah.
But only because I think she was just standoffish in general.
Yeah.
Like, I think just that was just who she was.
Yeah.
So, I want to kind of talk about the way that this was structured narratively, because at maybe the 25% mark of the movie, I was confused as to what I was watching. Like, that was about the time that he gets to the village, like the final village that he goes to, like after he leaves Paris.
Yeah.
So he starts talking to people, and it's like this 25%, 33%. I'm like, wait, am I watching a mystery? Like, he's walking around and he's getting all these conflicting stories, and I'm like, what? I didn't think there was a lot of mystery with what went on here.
With Van Gogh's death?
Yeah.
There actually
is. Oh, no, there's a huge...
There actually is some mystery about it. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
And the movie, when if you look up the film itself, it I believe it says crime thriller or crime mystery or something like that. Yeah.
Not
thriller. Thriller, I don't think it says thriller. I think it says crime mystery.
Oh, well, then you know what? They nailed it.
So
yeah.
I think your confusion was happening at the same time as you were following, like, the character would have the same confusion. So, like, that fit for me. Like,
yeah,
like,
describe it. He thought he was
wouldn't,
just...
He wouldn't have thought there was a mystery either. The crazy old Vincent.
My dad's making me fucking
himself,
deliver,
like,
this letter. Yeah, find who to give it to. Like,
this dude who spent time in a mental institution killed himself.
Yeah, cut off his ear.
What's the mystery here? Oh, wait, there's more to this story.
That was one of the largely compelling things about this. Is them choosing him as the main character, and he starts off as just, you know, like, he doesn't want to fucking go, he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But, like, as his interest develops, like, my interest was developing, like, watching him go from being, like, reluctant to being, like, fully emotionally invested in what was happening, I thought that was a really interesting way to go about it.
Yeah, lie to my job. I gotta go deliver this letter. Got a note this morning. You've been fired. Well.
Yeah, it looks like your credit's no good. I also liked how it showed, like, differences in perspective. Like, specifically, there's the one scene where the girl who ran the, I don't know what you want to call them, inn? Or, like, a hostel?
Yeah.
Ravo or something like that.
Mm-hmm. In chick.
She's telling her story or her account of how Vincent died, and she's talking about how the doctor came in and she's like, they didn't even say words to each other. They were just like two angry dogs circling each other, like blah blah blah. And they're showing, you know, the images of the doctor, and then he comes up and like slams the door in her face and he looks mm-hmm. all angry. But then later they show the same exact scene, but from the doctor's perspective, and he's like really upset and like feeling all this guilt, and he goes over and he does shut the door, but it's not like in this like flurry of anger, which is that's just how real life is, like people remembering things completely different.
Not only that, but it was also after a year.
Yeah.
These weren't fresh events.
Right.
And so
2 years.
1 year.
1 year.
It was a year after his death. Okay. It was a year after his death and 2 years since the letter was written.
Okay,
that's where the 2 years came in. So you you're influenced by what you see, and then you're influenced by the other stories you hear about it.
Right.
And I thought they put that together really well, that like people were embellishing on their stories because they were telling these stories over and over, because you're the person who saw this, so everybody keeps coming to you to tell to tell your story. Your story's going to change. Your story gets embellished. Your story gets made more interesting. So, and eventually, that's the story you just always tell.
The I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, the that the woman at the inn. The
inn chick.
So I, one thing that was hard for me is I didn't know who was real in this. I didn't know if all the characters were real, but the innkeeper was real.
What?
Except she was like 15 in real life when this happened.
Which characters? Which characters were actual real
people? Oh, oh, yeah. Oh! I thought you meant
a
like,
lot of them were
not just delusions. Yeah, this guy was no. He's clearly drunk all the time.
But because like she actually was real.
I didn't read any of the history around this movie, just so we're all clear.
I knew a little bit before this, and like this movie made me look it up to learn more.
Did you watch that clip of Doctor Who I sent you?
I already seen it before.
You get the fuck out of here, Alex.
The closing credits were kind of cool too, because in the closing credits they were showing the actors playing.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, they showed the actors. They You didn't see that? Oh, it's great.
It's really good.
It's really cool because they show the actors in costume, and they show either the Van Gogh paintings. Yeah, the Van Gogh portraits, or some painting that he had done of just some random asshole.
Either exactly who the person was, or they had pulled likenesses from other paintings.
Right. Know. And they even had a couple of photographs of real people to
they
correspond
had the girl.
To it. Yeah.
They had a photo pianist? Of the girl. No.
The innkeeper?
Yeah.
Inn chick.
The pianist, that was a portrait, and then they showed the portrait, and then they showed the scene from the movie side by side. And that was really cool because they showed all those, and that was
how they got it spot on.
I really liked that. That was really cool.
Fucking Bron.
Yeah. Like, I knew he was in the movie, and I didn't know who he was going to be. And the first scene they show him, he's like in the shadows and in the distance. And I saw that fucking jawline, and it was like, oh, there he is.
Yeah, and he slams that door.
It's like, I recognize that jaw.
Yeah, there he is. All right, good episode.
Well, before I watched this, I was trying to come up with as many Van Gogh puns as I possibly could.
You got none, didn't you?
Well, no, I decided that the movie was too good and too serious.
It really isn't that serious. Yeah. Like, it's a pretty lighthearted movie for the subject matter at hand, because like nothing we talk about or anybody, like nothing's going to do anything about what happened back then. Like,
they really did a great job of maintaining ambiguity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, because even
but
at the
still
end,
giving it a point at the end.
Yeah,
like the letter at the end really nails it.
Even at the end when he's talking to his dad, I feel like what they talk about was a different like end to how I felt the doctor. Like, it does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Like when he's talking to the doctor, I felt like that brought us to a conclusion, and then he's talking to his dad, and they're talking about a different conclusion, and I'm just like. Yeah, it was still completely ambiguous.
That was a weird role for Chris O'Dowd.
Yeah.
Like,
who is he?
Dad. It's just like a weird thing for him to be in and do.
It was super weird for me to see people with that split beard. It bugs me.
Oh, hey, Mama.
That guy's fucking IT crowd.
My mom just followed us. Hey, Mommy.
The one thing that bugged me, but it didn't bug me that much, and I got over it really quickly, were the accents. It's like,
oh, I loved them. I thought
these
they were
accents
beautiful.
Well, they were all over the place.
He was traveling though.
Yeah,
but was he traveling to the places where those accents were?
Well, he went from
I think that was what was bugging me.
I don't know if he was in France the whole time.
It bugged me for a minute, but I mean, it bugged me for a minute. It was like, it's fine.
I thought they were in France the whole time.
Were they in France the whole time? Maybe they were.
I don't know.
It would be easy to find out, to be completely honest.
But, yeah.
Actually, that was one of the images at the end of the film, was they showed a map.
I love maps.
They showed a map, and they said, here are the places, the locations that were referenced in the film. That was That was one of the stills that they showed on the screen.
I watched it on my computer. I think I walked away at that point.
Yeah, I really liked the movie.
I can't really think of any problems I had with it. It was just a gorgeous movie. The story is compelling. Like, I don't know.
It reminded me a lot of how much I appreciate oil paintings.
Are you trying to get me back into painting? Because, fuck, I mean, I guess I'll paint again, but...
I mean, I have some nice oil paintings from my great-grandmother, but I used to really like Rembrandt.
Are they better than mine?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jesus.
No, they...
Harsh digs, bro.
I'm sorry. My great-grandma painted for, like, 50 years. She's got...
Well, I've painted once.
I've always been fascinated with oil paintings because it's one type of art that I've never really been able to understand, or not that I haven't I can't understand, I've never tried it.
Let's
and
do
it's
it.
So beautiful and magical what people can do with it, that it's just, you want to start oil painting?
They're opening up a Sips and Splatters right across the street over here. Julie wants to go. Julie wants to go. She just needs somebody to go with.
Fuck, I was supposed to set one of those up for January.
Yeah.
We do Pinots and Palettes.
Well.
Well, this was a good discussion, everybody.
Why are you
trying to cut it off so quickly? We take 2 seconds to think.
A lot of conflicting
viewpoints.
And David
is all up on our D's.
Sorry, David. I was thinking about Deadpool with the Bob Ross fro for a minute there.
That doesn't sound like a movie.
I think about that all the time.
Holden, what are you doing?
You're not on a microphone, buddy.
Why is your homework taking so much longer, Holden?
Because I have an entire packet, David.
Does it take this late on every night, or is it just conveniently Wednesdays?
He's got extra things going on Wednesday evenings, so he doesn't even get home until like 8:30.
Smells like a country fried pile of bullshit to me.
We're experts in that now.
I'm going to get some panda treats for myself.
No, I'm not. There are a lot of them over there.
Hey, speaking of, not to derail the conversation to something critically important, but when are our Girl Scout cookies getting in?
I think at the end of the month.
Did we order?
Yeah.
Yes.
What? Yeah.
You
Once
did.
Again, you ordered less than me.
It's just like, what the hell? Was I blackout drunk then?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, we want that Kayla back.
Nice.
That was the night we hung out with Quentin.
Same. Oh, fuck.
The two are related.
We also played a game about Vikings.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Then there was some very uncomfortable time on some stairs.
No. No.
There was a lot of yelling in a car.
There was a lot of betrayal.
It's not uncomfortable for me.
Yeah. The lack of memory makes it not uncomfortable.
It makes it super comfortable. I'm just so comfortable with it.
The walk of what the hell happened last night around the Mall of America.
It was sitting down to lunch and realize, like, you guys saying something and realizing that what I thought happened the previous night had not been what happened. I thought we came home. I thought Tony took us to Taco Bell.
Wait, you know what? We've told our version of the story a while ago. What happened that night, Kayla?
I think I told it when on that night. My version of the story was I got drunk. I started drunk crying. Then Tony swept me away. And he took us to Taco Bell. And then we went back to the hotel and we went peacefully to sleep. That was my version of events.
The beautiful thing about that is how wrong it is.
Yeah, there's just so many wrong.
There is a lot of right to it.
The drunk crying was...
I remember
spot
that
on.
Distinctly.
100% that happened.
Taco Bell was closed.
And David kicked you out of your bed.
That is not true. That is absolutely...
He tried to hit her with... Well, he did
hit her. 100%
false.
There
was a legitimate pillow fight. That actually did happen.
That happened. She had already moved from the bed to the couch. Then I took the bed. Because I eminent domained the bed.
Squatter's rights.
Yeah, that's right.
So what do you guys think actually happened in the movie? Or in real life, I guess.
I think accidentally the kid in town shot him.
Yeah.
Is that because this is the only hypothesis you've had put forward to you?
There's two.
What?
There are several.
I know. I watched the movie. There are many possible scenarios. Not the kid, not the wild kid, not Renee.
Outside of the movie, there are other real theories or hypotheses.
Yeah, no. I'm going solely based on the events of the movie.
Okay.
I'm not talking about Renee. I'm talking about the other kid. The, like, mentally challenged kid.
You think he did it?
Yeah. I think he accidentally did it. And that's why Van Gogh doesn't say who shot him. And he also is very insistent that it's nobody's fault. Per the events of the movie. If you believe that the doctor is telling the truth about the things that he said on the deathbed. Which, I think that he does tell the truth. Because the way he tells the story, there's no reason for him to tell the dude hunting it down that he said all that stuff about his brother. I feel like that's details you would omit if it wasn't the truth. Also, the police
officer corroborates it. Because he says exactly the same
thing. Oh, does he?
Yeah.
So let's talk about what you just proposed, because the guy who said he heard the shot from the barn
was with that kid.
Was with that kid when the shot from the barn rang out.
Hey, I like the things you're saying because they challenge my theory. The old man was in on it. You know how valuable paint is? How very valuable paint is? That old man stole.
Like, especially back then, it would have been because they don't have a way to make synthetic colors. They have to
actually crush grind some up the indigo.
Right? Yeah.
So he was in on it. You know who else was in on it? The maid.
Okay.
For me, the most compelling thing was the doctor.
The doctor killed him?
Because he was banging his daughter?
Yeah.
Wow.
The chick from The Lovely Bones?
Yes. I'm guessing the character reference they used for her looked like that in the Van Gogh paintings, because it kind of looked like the actress, but they were doing something really weird to her face that made her look older.
Which person?
The chick he was banging.
The doctor's daughter.
Oh, doctor's daughter.
She was half
Marguerite. I'm
pretty sure I'm a better descriptor of her.
Marguerite.
Yeah. Doc Bang.
Gaucher?
Jesus, Tony.
Gaucher was the doctor's name.
Or was it Gaucher?
Gaucher.
Gaucho?
Gaucho. That's it. That's exactly right, Alex.
Gaucho. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't think that's it. Did the stock market crash or what?
I crashed.
Okay. Nailed it.
Crashed into the stock market.
I knew it.
Yeah, for me, that was a more compelling version of the story than him killing himself.
Gosh, yeah.
Shooting himself in the chest, stomach. But it was really the stomach. Well, the description that one doctor gave said it was the stomach, but I'm bringing stuff to this from other things I've read, which said the shot went off a rib.
Yeah, but your ribs go all the way down to here.
Yeah.
Could you please restrict your theories to the context of the movie, please?
No.
No.
Okay.
I mean, all right. Let's go. A real person.
It didn't seem reasonable that he would have shot himself, then bothered to walk back to town, then wouldn't have done any kind of follow up action
just laid there and died.
Unless once he had shot himself, he was like, "Oh, this sucks." Being dead might also suck.
I am really shitty at the suicide thing.
This is why everyone shoots themselves in the head.
Yeah.
I thought I was being creative.
It's a cautionary tale.
So in reality, in this movie, they say the doctor doesn't try to help him because he thinks he's a lost cause, right? In reality, Van Gogh tells the doctor not to take the bullet out or he'd have to shoot himself again.
In reality.
Yeah, those are the statements that have been recorded.
This is why I asked that we restrict this to the movie. The statements from, 150 years ago in rural France on a potential murder, statements from the potential suspects in said murder.
Something I read about the reality of the situation was that they couldn't get a surgeon to get the bullet out. Because it was the position it was in him, they couldn't just go get it.
Nah, I'd have just gone and gotten it. Fucking.
It was like resting against his spine or something.
Oh, yeah, I would have just Like,
cut into the back.
It.
Anyway, would have built one of those claw machines. Like, you put the quarter in.
Developed my mutant powers of magnetism.
Also, watching this movie made me feel bad about how shitty medicine has been through the history.
Made you personally feel bad? Yeah. Like you're responsible?
Because it seemed like he died from an infection, not from the actual gunshot wounds.
Yeah. So, yeah, he would have died from an infection.
It's just... Also, he was smoking while he had a fucking bullet in him.
Yeah, I mean, why
wouldn't he? Not going to get lung cancer?
I mean, Doc Cottle would have smoked while he did the surgery. Yeah. So that's
he's like dead. Dabbing his ashes off.
And he's dead.
It's just dead.
The poor one out for Doc Cottle.
Doctors have been working off such shitty knowledge for so long.
I just rewatched Battlestar Galactica. The best fucking Doc Cottle scene is in the end. Adama organizes that suicide mission. And he puts the tape down the line of the hangar. And he's like, everyone who's on this mission, you're over here. Everyone staying behind, you're over there. And Doc Cottle walks over there and he's like, bad news, Doc. You're the only doctor in the fleet. Doc Cottle is so pissed. So pissed he cannot go on that suicide mission. But he knows he's right.
I love fucking Doc Cottle.
Doc Cottle was so fucking good. Then he ashes in his eye. He smokes the entire time he is treating Laura Roslin for lung cancer.
Yeah.
He just does not give a fuck.
Nope.
Then she starts taking that, that herb, and he's like, don't take that herb. That's not medicine. Anyway.
Speaking of not medicine.
If this is another vaccination thing where you're going to kill parents and...
Kratom.
Sterilized children.
Kratom has been ruled an opioid by the FDA.
Finally. Oh, so what's going to happen to that dispensary over by the dam?
Well, I think they can still sell the CBD oil, the cannabinoid oil, but that's probably not a big enough revenue stream.
One, no one was going in that.
I was
going
to say, nobody,
Two, I don't think they actually, did they actually sell it, or they only sold the paraphernalia?
No, they were selling it.
They
sold it. Yeah.
Well, it's probably good that place is going to close.
Yeah.
I mean, probably not for the people who are addicted and they're going to have to go through massive withdrawal and eventually kill themselves when they can't.
I mean, they're not going to do that. They're just going to move on to harder drugs.
Yeah.
To escape the pain.
It touches all their... It does the same thing an opioid does. So
is it a gateway drug?
Gateway opioid?
Yeah.
Just going to move on to meth. Unless they're from the north of St. Louis and probably heroin.
That is true. St. Louis is segregated based on drugs. Except for weed. Weed is everywhere. That's why the whole city smells like
weed.
We're
segregated on a lot of things.
The whole city doesn't smell like weed.
To be fair, the city has become more weed-like.
Yes, it definitely has.
Significantly more weed-like.
That's the population of skunks that are moving in.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It must be.
Especially.
Not that I have a problem with weed, but there's not a lot of people. One, it's not a pleasant smell, but one, there's a lot of people just smoking in public.
I mean, just the climate around it has changed. There are places where it's legal now. It's hard to. You know that it's not legal in St. Louis. It's not legal here, but it's hard to really feel that when you know there are other places in the United States.
And every other student
at my high school is saying, smoke weed.
Hey, you're not on a microphone.
You're not on a microphone.
That wasn't an invitation to get on a microphone. Don't you have homework to be doing?
Done.
I love busting Holden's balls. It's the best part of him getting older.
But, I'm not saying it should be illegal. I'm just saying it smells really bad.
But it does stink. Is still illegal at a federal level.
Yeah.
So
still legal at a local state level in Missouri.
In Missouri.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in Missouri.
And Illinois.
Yeah.
In St. Louis City and County? Yeah. Or just the city, it's decriminalized or something like that.
Yeah, but that's not the same as it being legalized.
No, it's not legalized. I think they just take it away from you and issue you a fine or something like that. Like, that's the punishment now, unless you have a certain amount.
I mean, hasn't that always been that way?
No. St. Louis City
jails. I mean, it depends on, you know.
Yeah. At DeSmet, it was that way. So.
It heavily depends on skin complexion. Yeah.
And probably your last name, too.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What's a panilla? Nah, we're taking you in.
Oh, yeah.
It's a type of fruit.
Can you get one of those at Taco Bell?
You cannot.
Confirmed.
Well, it depends on what time it is and what Taco Bell you're going to.
Yeah. Like, did I have to break in because Perkins was closed?
Sometimes you will find a panilla in the drive-thru Taco Bell.
Not often. Taco Bell's not a good late-night food for me. Not that there are ill effects, I just don't like waiting in the line.
Yeah, the last time we had late-night food, it was
Waffle House.
Waffle House.
On the way there, David's like, ugh, I hope that waitress isn't there anymore. Like, I hope she moved on and is doing better. We get there.
Doing better than
waitress
what?
Is there.
Did he say that? Yeah. I don't feel like he said doing better.
Well, I think
it's like doing something else.
Yeah.
Because she always works like the graveyard shift.
Deals with our dumb asses. She
deals with our drunk asses, and she's like 500 years old. Like, you know she has anything better to be doing.
Everything.
Yeah.
She's also doing this just for stories for her grandkids.
Also, she has to deal with our drunk asses. And, like, every time we go someplace and we're drunk and there's a waitress, I always ask her, like, so, how many drunk people do you have to deal with?
Just you.
Yeah. But not her, because you've already asked her.
I've already asked her. Now, she already told me it was a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I already just
It's assumed. Waffle House on the graveyard shift. I mean,
yeah, I already assumed. But
in another, month and a half, we'll be at the one-year Denny's incident anniversary.
Oh, is that what we're going to bring up now?
What?
That night that you and Anna lied to me and led me to multiple places I didn't want to go.
What?
Atomic Cowboy.
That was a miscommunication, and then Anna and I wanted to leave, but then you and Kayla got drinks.
Basically, two people lied. We tried to salvage a situation the best we could.
I was at the level of drunk where I was just happy to be wherever I was at.
Birthday.
I drank like 8 birthday. Bottles of champagne.
Yeah, we are not changing this to the anniversary of the time that David got drunk and puked at a Denny's. This is my birthday.
Okay.
Yeah.
The anniversary of the day I was born.
That's right. That's what that was.
That's what the, yeah, that's right. That's what that was.
I know, I remember.
Yeah. Because Kayla doesn't get the day before Thanksgiving is the time she puked at a right. Denny's.
All right, okay, everybody. Everybody calm down.
Kayla had the decency of doing it outside.
Decency? It was where I was at physically.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had the callous rudeness to do it in the bathroom.
And very loudly.
Hey.
So,
listen, there's an unspoken... There's an unspoken cordiality. When you go to the bathroom, you ignore all the noises other people make. I'm sorry if you weren't doing that. That's on you.
You were scream heaving.
Screaming.
Yeah. The whole restaurant, the first heave, everybody's head snapped towards the bathroom, and I'm like, oh no. If he does
don't like vomiting.
And then you did it again, and I'm like, I'm going to go check on Dave, and Kayla's like, you should do that. I'm going to eat this waffle.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a self-maintaining apparatus over here.
And then you kept telling me we had to leave.
Yeah, that's right. It was imperative we leave.
For 20 minutes while we waited for the register to reboot so I could pay.
Yeah, I went outside. Then there was that one car, some pimp service. I took a picture. I'll find it for you, Tony.
All right. We're so far off track. I enjoyed this movie.
Oh, it's Sam and Haley's wedding.
So what I think happened is I think he got shot accidentally.
By?
I don't know by who. I would like to say that he was probably out with a group of people, and somehow he accidentally got shot. And then he was probably like, you know what? I'm cool with dying. Like, this is fine. And then he didn't want to blame anybody for it. Like, he just accepted it.
Oh, so a passive suicide.
Yeah.
Suicide by friend.
Sure.
Mm. Wow, that's disappointing.
Are you waiting for Kayla to acknowledge something, David?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
I just like waiting.
He's been there. Just waiting for this to happen.
I'm patient, Alex. Very patient.
Kayla, did you give your theory on?
I don't know, but both theories are plausible to me. It is plausible to me that he shot himself, even with him saying, don't let anyone else take the blame, because he had just had that, like, because that could also be translated Like, this was in a different language. Like, this, all this happens in a different language. Mm-hmm. And it could be him saying, like, this is nobody's fault. Like, don't feel guilty for this.
Right.
Because he had just had that argument with the doctor. And he was a burden on his brother. The Love Lounge.
It's the Love Lounge.
He was a burden on his brother. So, right. You know, he doesn't want anyone to feel guilty for the fact that he took his own life. Or the girl who had, like, 19th century ghosted him, like, or whatever this is. 19th
century ghosted him.
No, that's legit. It is 19th century.
Yeah.
No.
It could have been, like, that he accidentally got shot, and then he was like, fuck it. I'm outie. Done with this.
For all existence we know,
is pain.
For all we know, he got dick chained.
True.
He's walking through a field, somebody shot at a bird, missed the bird, hit him, and goes like, I'm cool with this. Take my paints and hide them so you don't get in trouble. And then stumbled back to the fucking hostel.
Are you implying the bird did it?
Sure.
They seeded that. Remember the guy at the river told him about the bird stealing his lunch?
Yeah.
They did build up that feud between him and the bird. That
fucking crow.
Feud? Yeah.
Didn't seem like a
so the innkeeper. Crow. All right, follow this. The story is really a conflict between man versus nature.
Oh shit! Okay? Strap in.
He goes to the inn. What's the first story the innkeeper Inchik tells you about Van Gogh? It's he goes outside the first day and he's painting in the rain. He's literally defying nature by just going about his human business,
doing whatever the fuck he wants.
Whatever the fuck he wants. Then later. That bird shows its nasty beak up in his bread, and he doesn't do anything about it. Then, mysteriously, he's in a field and gets shot. That's got bird murder written all over it.
A murder.
A birder.
A crow.
Oh, shit.
Listen, wake up.
Yeah. Wake up, sheeple.
I can't believe... Are you writing this down? Please,
somebody send this to the French police right now.
Hey, you know what? Just check another unsolved mystery off the list. That's what I have. That, you know what? That's what I'm pretty sure happened.
That's gotta be it.
That's good. No, that feels good. That feels right.
I'm looking at pictures of my cats. I can't scroll through my phone without finding 90% cat pictures, and I just can't. I can't not look at them when I see them. Here are my cat swimming trunks.
Okay.
I mean, those aren't
this
my
cats. This is a very visual thing that's probably not going to translate too well on the podcast. No, it makes
for great podcasting.
I like my cats. It's me playing with my wand.
A fly can be seen for a frame with it being stuck to the real-life painting.
Really?
I did not know that.
But here's the thing about that. It takes so long for them to, like, do each frame. How did they not fix that?
Notice that? They could have even fixed that digitally. Like, I don't feel like anybody would have
known or if
unless,
they did.
Unless they didn't realize it.
Yeah, they
plus, if it's a single frame, will you notice it?
Right.
I mean, I didn't, so.
I didn't.
Did you actually hear how they shot this movie? It was pretty interesting. So they filmed all the actors on green screen. Then they put the backgrounds in digitally into the green screen. They chroma keyed the backgrounds in. Mm-hmm. Then they gave the individual frames to painters to paint the individual frames from those green screened video images.
Yeah, that would have been insanity.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. Like, I know it wasn't, they weren't doing it at like 60 frames per second or even 25, but still, like, that's a lot of frames. Like, even if you do it at one frame per second. they were probably doing it at like 10.
If only there was a way we could tell.
What?
To the calculator.
Like, how many frames do you think they had to paint?
65,000 total.
100 million.
Divided by 95 minutes.
0.03%.
Divided by,
you know, they probably 60? Took more than a few seconds to paint each form.
No, how many?
No.
I know, Alex.
I'm asking about the frame rate.
I know, Alex.
11.4.
11.4. So they got frame rate equivalent to like integrated video cards.
It says that there was exactly 853 final paintings.
That's how many were left?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it was less than 1,000. Yeah. was the article that I read.
Each one was used multiple times, painting subsequent frames on top of the original ones.
And you could tell, like, I had read about that before I watched it. So there was a few scenes where I was specifically watching the backgrounds. Yeah. And you could see where there were a few scenes where the backgrounds weren't moving at all.
Yeah.
But there were other ones where the backgrounds were suddenly shifting. And
I was watching some of the backgrounds mesmerized to see how they were adding motion to character movement and stuff. Because, like, you could see the individual brush strokes that they added for that motion.
I bet you couldn't have seen that if you'd watched it in standard. SD. Yeah.
I mean, probably could. Vango's paint strokes were heavy.
I watched it in SD, but I was also watching it on my computer screen, so it wouldn't have...
Also watching on my computer screen.
The difference would have been, instead of being this big, it would have been this big.
Wow.
So.
Wow. Mine was not that big.
I watched it on my...
It's a big monitor.
4K.
Big, thick.
I wanted all monitor. Of those HDs in there. More Ds. More Ds.
All the Hs so, and
try
the Ds.
Trying to cram as many Ds in as I can.
Shove as many Ds in.
It wasn't a widescreen format either.
As many Ds as my face could take. Oh, God. That's what I paid for.
Gotta squeeze every bit out of what you paid for.
Wait. You paid for that? I think you probably could have gotten them all for free if you really would have worked at it a little bit.
Damn it!
I know this guy on Twitter. As soon as the mistake is corrected. Well, this is what I have to say about the movie. The things I've already said, sorry.
Wow, nice.
I realize now how misleading that was.
I found it fascinating to learn that only one of his paintings ever sold in his lifetime.
Yeah.
Like some of the other things that I learned about Van Gogh during the course of the story were really interesting to me.
Hey, Evan. He said, that was an awkward time to come in. I only assume that...
During the confluence of D's.
The confluence of D's. D's on parade.
Yeah, he received no recognition in his lifetime. And now he's like the fucking top the dog.
Father of modern art.
Yeah.
He has like a room in a museum dedicated to him. Like a
probably more than has, one room in one museum.
He has a museum dedicated to him.
No, like there's...
to the face. Sorry, Evan.
What's the name of... Is it the Louvre? It might be the Louvre, where there's like a whole room in the Louvre that's just to his work.
Oh, undoubtedly.
That wouldn't be a surprise at all.
I mean, and his contemporaries were like... Who are they saying? Henri Toulouse-Lautrec and... What year was this? What year did he die?
1890.
So it would have been Alphonse Mucha, like this was a huge time. God.
You can't use this application.
Wow.
It's this application is the worst.
He died in 1890.
1890. Yeah. So that would have been Henri Toulouse-Lautrec, like they show in the... Did you guys... I don't know if you guys caught the little jab he makes at Henri... So there's a part of the where he's sketching in a bar in Paris, and they're talking about all of the famous painters that are there, like hanging out.
Oh yeah.
And Henri says something to him, and he's like, "Grow up, Henri." Oh wait, you can't. Like, I don't know if you guys caught that or if you know anything about Henri Toulouse-Lautrec, but he was he had dwarfism.
Oh shit!
I was like, oh my god.
And shit.
He is a character. I would watch a movie about him. He was quite a character. He died of some STD.
Syphilis, probably?
Probably, yeah.
There was a lot of people dying of
he
syphilis.
He liked his liquor and
I wanted to
pleasurable company.
I wanted to bring that up. They said Vincent's brother was syphilitic.
Yeah.
And then that stress could kill him. And I was like, I'm pretty sure
it's... Evan, you can't come in here and start making puns. I can't deal with it. Anyone have some gasoline? I need to make my van go. Evan, please.
Yeah, listen. You need to listen to the early bit of this podcast where I said I was just going to make a bunch of Van Gogh puns, but the movie's too good.
That is a good movie.
So this movie is up for best
give it to
animated.
It.
Ooh! I don't think it's going to win.
Why? What?
Coco's going to win.
Ugh. I haven't seen that, but ugh.
Coco's a good movie.
Yeah, but it's
Coco worse. Is a really good movie.
But it's probably not as good.
Why am I not watching? Thanks for the follow, Evan. Coco. What is Coco about?
Day of the Dead. It's a Pixar.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
It's gorgeous.
Oh,
it's this is so stuff. Beautiful. Like, it's just, it's so good. Hand-painted.
I completely agree.
You're friends with David Lopan?
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
I've been friends with him for a while.
I didn't know you had that kind of star power.
Yeah. Tapped in.
God damn.
No, the Scream was not Van Gogh. That's, the painting, the Scream. I don't think that's what it's actually called, but that's, like, colloquially what it's called.
Shit.
Fuck, I'm kind of upset that I don't remember his name. We got people on the case.
Munch.
Yeah.
Edvard.
Edvard. Dolly. That's a good guess, but it wasn't Dolly.
The Scream is... It's an art series, actually.
You're an art series.
Four versions of a composition.
Oh, fuck.
That was made shortly after... It was apparently between 1893 and 1910, so shortly after Van Gogh died.
Yeah, this is just a huge time for art. Like, huge. What is the painting style they said he's the father of? Just modern?
Just modern art, I believe.
He's just a father of art. He started art.
He's art's dad? What?
He's walking around spewing art from his cement hole.
Modern expressionist?
Modern expressionist, that makes sense.
I think that's the specific thing.
Also, at the same time, you have Art Nouveau on the rise. Like, just so many different things. And Paris is, like, the epicenter of all of it.
Less than a century later, people will be hanging pictures of Campbell's soup cans on their walls.
You got something against Warhol?
No.
Yeah.
It's just a different thing.
It was a political statement.
Do you hate soup?
No. I'm a fan of some of the stuff Warhol tried to do. He tried.
Oh my god!
Yeah, good thing he's fucking dead.
He tried to... There was this whole mentality that art was for the rich, and he was trying to make art that...
Art is for the rich, Alex.
It is for the rich.
It was the same thing with...
Like, this dude did literally nothing but draw 800 pictures. Paint 800 portraits. Like, who paid for this motherfucker to eat?
His brother.
This dude was a taken care of man.
Yeah, he got real sick. They don't really talk about his time spent in the asylum.
Not in this movie.
Yeah. Makes me want to go watch more movies about Van Gogh. Or read... That sounds gross.
So the only part that they mentioned about it is he said...
read Harry Potter books.
I think he said in this, he felt like he wasn't getting better in the asylum. And then when he moved out, he felt like he was getting better.
What? He sent a message saying, I'm done with the asylum. They gave me a clean bill of health and I've never felt better. He literally sent that letter.
In the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I'm confusing it with something else. But like I'm pretty sure he left the asylum because he didn't feel like he was improving and he felt like it was dragging him down.
No, because that was a plot point in here. They said he left the asylum 6 weeks later. He killed himself, and then the dude.
No, that's different. He left his doctor's house 6 weeks later, not the asylum.
No, he left the asylum 6 weeks later.
The 6 weeks is from the time he wrote the letter that he said, "I am calm. I am something."
Yeah, like, whatever.
I've never felt like better. Like I'm. Like, yeah. The 6 weeks is from that letter. I don't remember what it corresponds to as far as where he was or if he had just gotten out of the asylum or whatever.
He spent a good portion of 1889 in the asylum.
100 years before I was born. Coincidence?
Yes.
not even a coincidence, just numbers.
Having no like
pattern recognition for the win.
There isn't even really a pattern. It just was a year that also 89.
Yeah.
Apparently, Van Gogh was an early
pornographer.
Sexual.
Oh, yeah.
Sexual misconduct.
Oh, shit.
He had sexual misconduct allegations against him. One of his young peasant sitters became pregnant in September of 1885. Van Gogh was accused of forcing himself upon her, and the village priest forbade parishioners to model for him.
His sitters, as in somebody who was painting?
I assume that's what that means.
Or probably taking care of him because he didn't fucking work.
I would assume sitting. I would, sitting for a painting.
Oh, like modeling?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, of course, the priest punished the rest of the town instead of him.
What?
The priest forbade the rest of the town from modeling for him.
I kind of feel like that's not so much of a punishment for the rest of the town. Like,
Stay the fuck away from that guy.
Don't go nude model for the rapist.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like that's necessarily a punishment.
But I feel like he probably should have been arrested.
More like a warning.
Yeah, like, hey guys, don't go nude model for the rapist. Just
PSA.
Just a heads up. Everybody, Jesus says don't do it.
And knowing is half the battle.
So did that chick give birth to the art then, if he's the father of modern art?
Yeah,
was that art?
Her child's name is Art.
Oh, wow. Artemis.
Duly noted.
And it's like actually our Artemis.
Yeah, just so you know, Evan, apparently don't nude model for Van Gogh.
Yeah.
Artemis is 130 years old.
Sexual misconduct allegations.
Artemis is 130 years old, yeah.
Wow, that's incredible.
He looks great.
Yeah, he's looking great.
Yeah.
Art, you're looking great.
Moisturizing.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Just 17 hours a day he's moisturizing.
Isn't Art Puerto Rican?
I think you're confusing the two arts.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Art Santos is.
I mean, am I confusing the two arts? Or are there just two arts who could be inserted into the story that we're both thinking about?
I was doing Artemis.
They're twins.
That's why I started out with Artemis.
They're twins.
Oh, yeah. If you get an invitation from Van Gogh, especially like today, definitely don't take it.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, like, do not take that nude modeling invitation.
Yeah, come down to my crypt.
All right.
Don't sit in any puddles naked.
He was buried in like the middle of nowhere in France and probably.
I can only imagine he's in like a pauper's grave.
Yeah, but motherfucker, if he's sending out solicitations for nude models now, you know that asshole's at least upgraded to a crypt.
Right.
He's not going to be running this whole nude modeling business outside of some pauper's grave.
Right.
And over 100... he pays an exposure.
Oh. Oh, unsavory, Tony. Yeah. Unsavory.
I can't pay you, but you're going to be huge once my art hits.
Oh, that's not what I thought you meant.
My art hits?
I thought you meant he was going to expose himself to you.
No.
That's what also what I thought.
Tony, you know what?
You are the unsavory.
Savory.
Tony, I'm sorry.
You are the one who is the unsavory.
I thought that pun was incredibly clever.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you were clever. Somehow that's on me.
So apparently even his ear coming off, there are different versions of the events where, like, Gauguin was
the recipient?
The person who cut his ear off?
Oh.
There are versions of the story where that happened?
In the movie, he gives it to
a popular version. The popular version is that he was tortured by voices and severed his ear off with a razor. Delivered the package to a woman at a brothel that they both frequented.
Him and the woman?
Him and his friend.
Him and his friend.
Him and his ear?
I always thought
Van Gogh
that he
has
cut
no recollection
his,
of it.
I always thought he cut his ear off in the asylum and like mailed it. I didn't know he hand delivered.
He went to the asylum after that.
I'm calling that also sexual assault.
What?
I'm also calling that one sexual assault.
Giving your ear to someone?
You cut off an ear and then give it to a prostitute and not be sexual assault.
He said he didn't recall afterwards.
We give him a pass because he was drunk?
No, I think that a lot of what happened to him is maybe he had schizophrenia.
Are we giving him a pass because he has schizophrenia?
No, but, like, that means help, not punishment.
Doesn't necessarily.
If you're not in control of yourself, I feel like that's help, not punishment.
Help. You're also... You're still responsible. Like, you deserve help, but also, like...
Alright, yeah, I get what you're saying. So, help.
This is a...
But also, maybe...
This is a minefield... Like, Where's the line?
Alright, so I'm gonna break this train. Apparently he went to another asylum in May of 1889.
Yeah, just take the fucking tour. Yeah, tour of asylums.
He was a man of leisure, just asyluming his way through the rural France. It was a fucking winery tour.
Oh, well, sure.
This movie kind of made me want to live in 19th century rural France. If it was all beautiful like that, like all painted like
that. You know,
it
didn't look like that.
You know what, though? Probably less burritos.
Ugh, fuck that. Never mind.
And
cancel.
By less means none.
None.
And probably no shots.
Oh, fuck.
No, there was plenty of booze to be had.
There was wine.
He was also.
They were taking shots in that bar. They took a shot of something.
Yeah. And that one, the main dude that we followed.
Yeah, but that was also in Paris. Dick.
He threw that guy's bottle in the river and got fucked.
I know.
It's like, no. It's like, what? I could have used that.
Well, so that whole thing.
He also took somebody's wine in that one bar. He's like, hey, he doesn't need it. He's a dick.
That whole scene where he's harassing that guy about not doing anything. He himself.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Like, he was.
Yeah, you've discovered the point of the scene.
Yeah,
but he wasn't fighting that dude. He was fighting him.
Yeah. He was working out his guilt.
Yeah,
about being a butthole.
Yeah, it's a big
while he was also bullying this guy.
Bully.
He was yelling at this guy for not stopping the bullying. He was bullying this guy about not stopping the bullying because he felt guilty about his ineptitude or his inaction. Then he jerked off into a cup.
Wow.
We all knew it was coming.
Yeah.
I like the scene the next morning.
He wakes up and the cop's got the black eye.
I didn't do that, did I?
No, you didn't. The cop says he landed the punch on himself?
No, he said he also landed a punch.
Yeah.
That's...
So he and his brother are buried in a municipal cemetery.
Oh.
They actually have markers for both of them.
I wonder what type of security or whatever they have to have there now. I can only imagine people, like...
Gross.
Yeah, people.
I've been to Mardi Gras. I've seen things.
People.
I've seen things.
Speaking of the retrospective diagnoses of Van Gogh, in 1947, Perry, I'm not sure who that refers to, was first to suggest bipolar disorder. That has been supported by some psychiatrist, a biochemist. Countered that the symptoms were more consistent with acute intermittent porphyria, noting that the popular link between bipolar disorder and creativity might be spurious. Temporal lobe epilepsy with bouts of depression has also been suggested.
Temporal lobe epilepsy.
Whatever the diagnosis, his condition was likely worsened by malnutrition, overwork, insomnia, and alcohol.
I don't believe that last part.
I don't believe any of those parts.
Otherwise?
Just gonna shoot myself in the stomach from a really low angle.
I liked when he finally met with the doctor, and the doctor offered him some wine. He's like, no. I did enough of that last night.
Oh, I have a hangover cure. You know the one.
Is it shooting yourself in the stomach?
It's shooting yourself in the stomach and slowly bleeding out over 2 days and dying of infection.
I got the hangover cure. One really bad hangover.
It's a permanent cure. You'll never have
you'll never have a hangover again. That was amazing. And I would almost recommend going back and just watching the end credits, because them like comparing the paintings to how they had the actors dressed up,
or yeah, I mean, just the actors. My life.
And
some of the actors, like, they tried to get actors that looked very similar to the paintings too. Like, yeah. it was.
Yeah, they were very, very accurate. They did an incredible job.
Fucking beard,
split beard, man.
Chris O'Dowd.
Oh yeah.
You look at that picture and you're like, Chris O'Dowd is who needs to do this.
If this guy was in the movie. Christian Bale. Like from The Machinist?
Nicolas Cage.
What?
That hair.
As every character.
That hair.
All of them.
You know Nicolas Cage has got that creepy hair?
Yeah.
All I can think about now is the fucking skit, like Nicolas Cage's agent.
Just accepts whatever the role is.
Yeah. It's like, all right, in this movie, you're playing Hitler. I'm on it. Why? Why do you do this to yourself? I like being in movies.
That sounds right.
We watched Downfall, didn't we? We do Downfall? I feel like we did do Downfall.
We did something.
We did Downfall.
Was it Downfall?
It was Downfall.
It might have been Downfall.
That was a good movie.
We did something about Hitler.
I'm sure we've done several things. We also did Inglourious Basterds, too.
Yeah, that's not the one I'm thinking of.
I mean, that's not the one. No. We also did Downfall.
Probably.
No, guaranteed.
All right. Does anyone have anything else?
Nope.
No. This is a beautiful movie.
Go see this movie.
Everybody should watch it.
Yeah. I wish I would have taken the time to watch this over the weekend, because Holden had expressed interest in it when, because I said, we're going to do this movie, and I said, you guys need to watch the trailer. So I pulled it up on the TV and just showed everyone the trailer, and Holden's like, when you watch that, I want to see this. This looks really cool.
And that way try and crash the podcast?
Yeah.
I got my eye on him, Tony.
Yeah, he's waiting to take over.
I know. February 3rd, 2014. Almost 4 years exactly, we did Downfall.
Okay. That sounds about right. And
point one, apparently someone's cell phone was too close to the recorder, and because of that we kept getting random line noise in the reclining. At least that is what science, in quotes, would have you believe. Personally, I'm of the mind that it was Hitler's ghost coming to haunt our recorder.
Wait, did I do that? Or was that one of the ones that Jolie did? Was she still here then?
No. Maybe. Point two. This movie was too much of a bummer to write show notes for. That smells like you, Tony.
That might have been
That's
me.
Got your stink all over it.
All right.
Nope. Nothing going on next week. Skipping next week for Valentine's Day.
Yep. And then likely Black Panther after that.
I'm excited. Well,
I'm free next week, so.
Let's just do the podcast.
I got all the shit.
Nice.
Can't do it on Black Panther, though. We have to do it on something else.
Obviously not Black Panther.
I'll tell you what. You guys watch all of Naruto before then? We'll do a Naruto episode.
Awesome. I'm so excited.
Check my connections, and maybe we can get screening copies for Black Panther.
All right, you do that.
Okay.
Well, is this going to be another two tickets? Because that doesn't work for me.
Yeah. Oh. All right. Anyways, let's end the stream.
All right.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
You could sit on my lap and Kayla's lap.
It's already muted.
No, three people don't get in on two tickets, though, so the third person sitting somewhere is an issue.
Yeah, that's the problem.
All right. I need you to put on a costume and you'll just be our therapy dog.
Who are you talking to?
David's a racist.
Yeah. Yeah, this is racist.
Veering into racism.
Or a horse. I mean, those are legit.
He has a horse in his house.